Morning, everyone.
Nice to see you all. Jeremy, a week or two ago, gave me the topic of salvation to talk about. I see a latecomer coming in. Hiya. Do come in. That's all right. So, yeah, as I was saying, Jeremy gave me the topic of salvation, and immediately I was a bit at a loss, because it seems as though we should be talking about salvation every week, right? Because that's why we're here. So I wondered for a bit, you know, how do I make this different? How do I bring something out about salvation that we haven't talked about? Because we've heard a lot about what Jesus has done for us over the past few weeks. So we had Bijou last week, how, you know, God had been with him throughout his life. And throughout this service all the time, we've heard about who Jesus is to us. So I was thinking about this, and it occurred to me that a lot of what we've talked about is personal salvation. It's about God sending his Son and Jesus dying for our sins, which is completely true. But I think the Bible has a lot to say about universal salvation as well. Not just salvation for me personally, but salvation for everyone, salvation for the whole world, and salvation for humanity as a whole. So I'm going to talk a bit about that today. Firstly, I always like to bring one of my pictures along if possible. This is you can't really see it very well. I'm going to turn the lights off. Okay. So this is a rather lonely mountain pass in Western Austria, just on the border with Switzerland. I took this photo about 2 months ago, probably. Priya and I were on our honeymoon in Austria, and a few days before we were in this particular pass, we were in a very similar one. I didn't take a photo, and we'll get to why in just a second. We'd been walking for about maybe 4 hours or so, maybe a bit more. Maybe more. Priya says it's more. It was more. It was like 10 hours. So in Austria, you can take the ski lift up a long way up the mountain and then go for a walk. So if you want to go up a 2,500-metre mountain, you don't have to climb up 2,500 metres, which Priya was very grateful for. Anyway, we'd taken the lift up and we'd walked for a few hours. We'd actually walked quite a long way down below the ski lift, and it occurred to me slightly too late in the walk that there might be a last ski lift, and it might be quite soon. And we were faced with a very similar steep road that we needed to go up very quickly in order for us to make this last ski lift down. Otherwise, we were facing an extra 4 hours of walking home, which would not have put me in anyone's good books, really. So, anyway, we found ourselves in this predicament, and Priya doesn't really like walking up hills very much at all, particularly under time pressure, and it was a pretty nasty hill. So we started it, and we were pretty exhausted after walking for a long day, and just absolutely flat-out tired, facing this enormous sort of steep hill that we needed to get up. And we heard a car coming behind us, and we thought we might try and hail it. And they didn't. They stopped, and they had a full car, and they carried on driving. It's a bit like, if you know the story of the Good Samaritan, it was a bit like that. They kept going up the road. And then another, a pickup truck, sort of down the bottom, and we, at this point, knew that we were not going to make it, no matter how fast we walked. So I stood in the road and made sure this guy stopped for us, and in our sort of slightly faltering Deutsch, we managed to get a lift up to the top. On the way up, it occurred to us that these people, I think, worked sort of in the area as not quite mountain rescue, but sort of patrol sort of thing, and they were probably doing exactly what we wanted them to be doing. They were exactly. So we got there with plenty of time, and we went up the hill in this pickup truck. In that moment, I think I reminded myself again what salvation was. This truck had saved us, right? And salvation is a word that it sounds a bit grand, you know. But I felt saved in that moment by this pickup truck. So let's just keep that in mind as we sort of go on. It's very obvious in that story what we were being saved from, potentially an extra 4 hour walk home that neither of us really wanted to do. The Bible talks a lot about salvation, and I thought it would be worth starting with what we're being saved from. So Priya has a selection. It's a sort of a composite of Genesis 3 that we're going to just hear read to us this morning. Yeah, so, but it highlights the important things.
So, starting from verse 14. To the woman, God said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, he said, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way of the tree.
Blimey. Right, so it's going to get better, I promise. But I think there are three things we can draw from this, two of which we miss quite often, I think. So the first thing that this sort of, it's like a curse, if you will. Adam and Eve have just sinned. They've just taken the fruit that God told them not to, and God is explaining what this means. And the first thing that it talks about, Eve's pain in childbirth and her broken relationship with Adam is a symbol of generally mankind's broken relationship with itself. Okay, so human relationship is broken. This is second on here, I'm not quite sure why, but anyway. So we can see this all around us. Think about, you know, estrangement, family difficulties, having to cut someone out of your life, divorce, abuse, inequality in the world, war. We're talking about relationships between humans, and they are not right because of the fall. And it's very clear in the Bible that, you know, it says this is a result of it. Firstly on here, the relationship between humanity and creation. It says clearly, you know, Adam will have to work the soil and it will bring forth thistles and weeds, not what he wants. It says a few verses before also that the serpent will bite the heel, and there are various other sort of things about this, but the relationship between humans and the rest of creation is also broken. I don't hear about that spoken often enough, and we'll get on to why that's important later, but there's another broken relationship. And thirdly, of course, it says at the end that Adam and Eve are led out of the garden and the garden is shut to them. The relationship between God and humanity is broken. So we've got three relationships that are messed up by the fall. So, with this in mind, let's have a look at what salvation might mean. So, I can't remember who has this reading. I think it's Jeremy.
Yes.
Would you like to read it for me, please?
3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
Thank you. So I've often heard this verse talked about in terms of, you know, God coming to save me. And that's true, but it doesn't actually say an individual person. Can you see what it says at every point? It talks about what God is saving. It says the world, right? It says the world. God so loved the world. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We're talking about something bigger than just my relationship. We're talking about all three of the things that I just talked about that are broken in the fall. So God's intervention through Jesus Christ rescues all three of those relationships. Okay? Let's move on a little bit. Now, this is how God saves us. This is mostly taken from a guy called Francis Schaeffer, who's a very influential theologian, but he sought to sort of synthesised two ideas about salvation, and came up with this sort of breakdown into three things. They're quite sort of meaty, meaningful words, so we'll go through them. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. So justification is Christ's death on the cross. And at this point, he takes the punishment that we deserved. And notice in the word justification, we have sort of half of the word justice. This doesn't mean that Jesus decided that, you know, that there didn't need to be any debt repaid or any service in prison or whatever. He takes it. So justice is still served, but he takes it for us. So because of his action on the cross, we are put right. It is a one-time act. It happened once in the history of the world. It only needed to happen once. And we are all saved by that one action. As we'll see, that's not the totality of salvation. Jesus dying for us once is only the beginning of salvation. We go on next to sanctification, which is a word you will never hear outside of a church, I promise you. But it means becoming holy, sanctified, the word comes from the Latin sanctus, which means holy. And that simply means becoming more like Jesus. Okay, and this is the work of the Spirit. So when Jesus ascends to heaven, he says, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send to you another comforter. And that is the Spirit. And through the Spirit and reading of the life of Jesus, we become sanctified. And this is more than just, you know, deciding to do the right thing every now and again. Our hearts change. And more than that, our hearts change more and more over a certain amount of time. This is what we mean when we talk about a walk with God. I believe that I was saved by a one-time action by Jesus Christ, but I live in that salvation every day through the process of sanctification. And this is what concerns Christians every day, you know, working out their salvation through sanctification. Finally, glorification. Again, a word you won't hear outside of the church. In fact, not really outside of this understanding of the meaning of salvation, really. I think it's an invented word, but that's fine. It means our final release from sin, our unification with God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in heaven. On death, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we are glorified as Jesus was glorified when he rose from the dead. And that is the final stage of salvation, if you will. And each of those three stages is equally important, I think, to an understanding of what God did for us and what that means for us. Now, the reason why the second and third are important becomes clear in the New Testament writers. Who has Ephesians 2? Did I give that to you, Julia?
That's me.
Or is that Sue? Would you read that for me,
please?
So
this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Thank you. And Julian, would you like to read the verse from 1 Peter, please?
Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another. Whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. The amazing thing about God saving us is that he doesn't just reconcile us with himself, but he asks us to partner with him in order that his salvation might be worked out. Okay? Do you see what it says at the end of the Ephesians verse? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, in Peter, good stewards of the grace of God, we serve one another with whatever gift we have received. And it's clear in other translations that everyone has received a gift. It's not a sort of, you know, to some he's given the gift and another not. There is a gift in all of us. There are many gifts in all of us. And there is a place for you in God's mission of salvation. And I think this is incredible, you know, that Jesus didn't just die for us, but that we partner with him in the ultimate salvation of the world. We're not just saved to be personally reconciled to God, but to work alongside him for the full salvation of the world. Now, I'm going to bring us back to what we looked at in Genesis. If God's salvation fixes these three relationships, then that is what we should be concerned with. We should be concerned with the relationship between humanity and creation. There's a fantastic biblical argument for being environmentally conscious, for example, for living sustainably. more than that for you know, making sure that people around the world have enough of what they need. There's a responsibility for us to mend that relationship. Again, I don't think I've heard that talked about enough in church. It's really important, and it's one of the first things that the fall affects. It says it in the Bible. God needs people who are concerned about that relationship. Secondly, human and human relationships. When we mend those relationships, we are doing God's work. You know, some people have jobs that are directly to do with those sorts of relationships. Counsellors, for example. They are immediately concerned with how people reconciled with other people, all the way up to peacekeeping and the top levels of government. That is that relationship being put right. And as Christians, we should be a part of that too. And thirdly, of course, the relationship between humanity and God. And I think we hear about this the most, and it's obviously a huge part of it. We read about the Great Commission in Matthew. Go to all the nations, make disciples. That is what we are doing. We are fixing this relationship between humanity and God. And when we ourselves turn again to God, we are also fixing that relationship at a personal level. So this is what God's salvation is. It's bigger than you think. It's bigger than just God died to save me, though it definitely includes that, and we couldn't understand anything if God did not do that. But it's more than that. God's after the salvation of the universe. You know? And as I say, he partners with us to achieve that. Let's just think about those three things this week and sort of going on. There are small ways that you can affect all three of those things. And I would encourage you to reflect on that, to think about it. There are very big ways you can affect all those three things as well, and maybe God's calling you to do that too. Well, I hope this has sort of served to open our, to make our viewpoint bigger in terms of what God's about. God's about saving people. He's also about saving.
Could you pray?
Yeah.